We're going to kick off straight away with June Tinsley, and she is head of advocacy and communications with the National Council for the Blind in Ireland. And this, would you believe, is World Sight Day, and we're going to be chatting about some of the you're going to debunk some myths and preconceptions that the public has. Isn't that right, June?
That's right, Michael. Yes, as you rightly say, today is World Sight Day, and I suppose NCBI is taking the opportunity just really to share and engage and educate the public a little bit more on what it's like to be blind or vision impaired, and hopefully to kind of debunk some of the myths or misconceptions that people might have. In reality, it is a low incidence disability. So often members of the public or employers or teachers or public transport operators or whoever, people from all different walks of life, they're often unsure of how to interact or understand what it's like to be blind or vision impaired. And as I said, we're just trying to debunk some of those myths today, including one like not everybody who's blind or vision impaired uses a cane or has a guide dog. There's just so many different types of eye conditions that as a result, there's varying degrees of visual impairment. So some people do have a cane. Some people use guide dogs. Some people use their remaining vision. So it's certainly not a one-size-fits-all for people.
Indeed, it's not. And when we talk about vision, it's there's different levels, of course, of sight loss as well. Maybe you explain that to us.
Correct, yes. I suppose when you do have a vision impairment, not only does it vary between the different eye diseases that there are and eye conditions, but it also can just vary also on your surroundings. Like if it's a very bright day, the glare of the sun can certainly aggravate some individuals. Likewise, if it's very cloudy, it can kind of cast shadows. There's issues around lighting when you're inside and outside, adjusting from going inside to out and vice versa can affect someone's vision. And as a result, they might need to take a little time to adjust to that change in lighting so that they can get more comfortable with their surroundings. So as I keep saying, people might not be aware of these differences, and it being World Sight Day, it presents us with an opportunity to kind of educate and share with the public these realities that people face on a daily basis.
And of course then, isn't there always the thing that we we call it nearly like a superpower that people who are blind have, that they can hear everything and they can sense things.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the other kind of myths that individuals, when one of their senses go, it heightens the other senses to nearly super normal strength. And that in reality, that's not the case. People who are blind to vision impaired do rely on their other senses and do develop kind of a strong memory and are tuned into audio cues. So they would be obviously very alert to the world around them to make sure they can hear everything that's around them. But they certainly don't have a sixth sense when it comes to that.
Indeed. Are you still there? You seem to have dropped off there.
No, sorry, I'm still here. Michael, can you hear me?
There was a little click and you seemed to just drop off straight away. I thought I had lost you there for a second. I suppose that the next one I'm going to bring up is one that it crosses, I think, a lot of the spectrum of people who are living with a disability. Is people speaking to them, you know, or maybe speaking to somebody who's with them rather than speaking to them themselves?
Yes, that has come up quite often. And as you rightly say, it's not unique just to somebody who's blind or vision impaired. But I suppose our advice would be feel free to use everyday language, words like look, see, watch. They're used in everyday occurrence. So don't feel awkward using those words around someone who's blind or vision impaired. But what we would advise is that if you are offering directions to someone, don't point in the direction that you want the individual to follow your directions in, but to give verbal instruction as well as that, and kind of highlight that follow down this road 200 metres and take a left. And I suppose just be very clear in your instruction, because pointing in the direction you want the individual to go is not going to work.
Indeed, and the one I always, and forgive me for this, I'm going to say that I laugh at it, is that, because I've done it myself, is that you would actually raise your voice and speak.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do that now, in fairness.
Yeah, it's happens. We just had to gain that little bit of more empathy and understanding, and start to think about what we're doing. But at the same time, it is that little bit funny. I can imagine something like someone like Morecambe and Wise making a joke out of it.
Yes, very much so. And as I said, you're not unique in that situation at all. But I suppose in reality, the core message here is just to talk normally and just to have an open conversation with someone who's blind or vision impaired. They're more than happy to accept your offer of assistance to go across the road or something, but always give verbal offering. Don't necessarily grab someone, because nobody likes to be startled or anything like that. So certainly offer verbal assistance always to someone who's blind or vision impaired.
And of course then we all have this thing that we all, well, it from our own perspective, I suppose we're looking at it, is that we would think that someone who has a disability, like being blind, that their whole world focuses around that. But that's not true.
No, not in the slightest. No, I mean, people who are blind or vision impaired lead very full lives, just like everybody else. They've got their own unique and interests, just like everybody else. Some people like football or cooking. Some people don't like those things and prefer audiobooks, or prefer to go for tandem cycling or whatever their interests are. And I suppose it's just to reinforce the point that their world doesn't focus on being blind or vision impaired. They've adapted. They're having their own interesting lives and are embracing everything that they enjoy to do, and are not focusing solely on being blind or vision impaired.
Yeah, and I have to say, they're very interesting things for people on this day to actually start to think about. But something I wanted to bring up with you as well, and I know we've spoken before about it, maybe you just remind the listeners some of the services that the NCBI offer.
Sure, yeah. I mean, NCBI is, this is our 90th year, so we've been around for a long time, and all our services are offered right across the country. And essentially, we're there for people who are blind or vision impaired, whether they've acquired that condition or born with it, and are there to offer kind of practical advice on how to make their either make some adjustments in the home so that they can continue living safely at home, offer advice in terms of getting out and about safely, do orientation and mobility training with the individual, often upskill them in the areas of kind of technology to ensure that they're aware of the different either apps or software or all the aids that are out there to ensure that someone who's blind or vision impaired can live life to the max. And I suppose the other support services that we offer is in relation to for children and young people, obviously working with their parents and their schools to make sure the children can thrive and meet their developmental milestones, or working with an employer to make sure that an individual who has become vision impaired can still be retained in that role, and what adaptations might be needed to make sure that the individual can stay in employment. So it's very varied, the services that we offer, because, as I mentioned earlier, everybody's life is different. So we need to be able to offer a service for that individual, whether it's in the area of making sure the individual can still use a magnifier to play cards with their friends, or whether they can travel on a bus into the city every day to go to work, or whether they can participate in their local blind football club. So it is really, really varied. But I suppose we're there constantly to make sure that some people can live independently and confidently.
And of course, as technology is changing, it's teaching people how to use technology. And the amazing thing of that, you know, you have braille typewriters and so forth. That sound really old, saying a braille typewriter, a braille keyboard, I should say. There's loads of different things like that that people need to learn. But with, you know, being here in the north side of Dublin and where we are, Grace Park Road, I would travel up and down that a couple of times a day. So I would see people out there, just as you mentioned, you know, learning how to and gaining confidence on how to be out and use the stick and manage their way up and around. So you'd see that quite a lot. So I quite understand that there's a lot of great work being done, but that doesn't come cheap, and you have to fundraise every year. How can our listeners support you?
Yes, I mean, you're right. Our services are supported by the HSE, although it doesn't meet the full cost of us delivering the services. So any donations would be grateful. It can be done through our website, ncbi.ie, or it can be done through any of our shops. Feel free to shop in your local NCBI store. There's 130 right across the country, plenty in the North Dublin area, kind of Fairview area and Malahide and Kilbarrick. So there's plenty of those scattered around the place. And I suppose for NCBI, as I said, we're on our 90th year, and our headquarters is based on Whitworth Road in Drumcondra, and many service users would be coming into our offices on a daily basis to avail of these services. And you mentioned kind of Braille. It is a very important language, and often children who are born with a sight condition do learn Braille in school, but often when an individual is older in life and acquires a sight loss condition, they don't really learn Braille. And I suppose that's where technology has kind of stepped in to make sure that they have still have access to all the things they want to have access to, because technology is facilitating that, whether it's audiobooks or whether it's jumping online to get the latest headlines or anything like that. Technology has certainly in some respects taken over Braille in ensuring people stay connected and included in things, but Braille is still such an important language for individuals who are learning it in school. And there has been, I mean, you can get some publications in through digital Braille as well. I mean, they've made advances in that as well to recognise the value of Braille.
June, once again, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, and I wish you all the best with fundraising, but also with today being World Sight Day, and thanks for talking to us and letting you know, setting us a little bit straight on some of our preconceptions on people who are living with blindness. Or
cyclist. No problem, Michael. Happy to chat again. Talk to you soon.
Take care, June. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, there we go. That was June Tinsley from NCBI. And I would advise, if you have an opportunity, if you're looking for a new coat or something like that, why not just go in and check out one of their shops? And see, there might be something that you pick up. And the same way, if you have an old coat that's still in good condition and that you're not going to use, why not just drop it in, and somebody else may get the use of it, and the NCBI will get a couple of bob, and it just makes the world go round.